soft Father, our hearts to rejoice. We bless you today. We thank you. No formality or ritualized context of order. We pray that your anointing, your spirit move in this house. And that everything will be done for thine honor. And that your name will be exalted in your house. Not unto some unknown God. As Shaul said to those on Mars Hill, you pray to an unknown identity or God. There's only one true mighty one. Yahweh is his name. I thank you, Father. Bless your truth today. Touch the hearts of your people. Touch your manservant. That he may speak without fear of the retributions of men, the condemnation, the judgments. Let him speak with the liberty of the Ruah, the Spirit. That he may proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. That we believe that you are coming. That our hearts will be steadfast, settled. We continue to abound in the works of Messiah. For we know that they are works of truth. He did nothing of himself, but everything he declared, my Father told me to do. We bless you today and we thank you. We exalt you. Now open the ears of the hearers, the eyes of the seers, loose the tongue that it may speak. Profound truths of Yahweh, that they cannot be condemned. We bless you for all things in Messiah's wonderful name. We praise you forevermore. In the saints declare it with a hearty hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. It's a wonderful thing. You began to go beyond the very restraints of Yahweh. You find yourself doing things that you ought not to do. I was telling my wife, telling Deacon Benny, I saw this. You could tell she was a young, ignorant Jezebel. Folly, and you find them a dime, a dozen today. They're not very hard to find. And she was a corrupt-looking thing. And of course, when I see things that are just totally out of the way or out of Yahweh's governing power, it disturbs me. Not that there is a lingering disturbance from it. And of course, I simply looked at it like this. I guess she thought that that was some kind of admiration of it. To look at this ignorant-looking thing. She had on a pair of shoes. The heels were that high. And about big as my finger. She had on a pair of pants that were so tight. And I'm looking at this ignorant fool. You knew that there was no comfort there. And then she bent down and you can see all of her undergarments. And they were filthy and dirty. And I looked at this fool. Say, you ignorant, vile thing. And that's the mindset of this world. And when one is not governed by the laws of Yahweh, they will do just those things. They are not civil. They are heathens and beasts. It is a beastly spirit. For the beasts of the field, although they are covered, it makes no difference to the heifer or the bull. He doesn't care if everyone here will watch him when it comes time for that season. It makes no difference at all to him. He doesn't care whether it's children, adults. It makes no difference at all. Now that is the nature of this nation today. It is one that is very beastly. It's corrupt. It wants to get naked and show off everything. It is vile. the sinful, and it is the burning of sin in their flesh that causes them to do that. It's a filthy thing. They have no self-esteem for one thing. That's why they do it. They're not sure of themselves. They have no confidence, none whatsoever. I'm so sure whom I am that I can allow the cloak of his righteousness to clothe me. And I'd rather be clothed in his righteousness than in some filthy fleshly garment that gives the flesh some false illusion or hope, and when truly there is no hope at all. It's false. It is not real. There is no comfort and security there. And so because this nation and we that declare that we are sons of Yahweh, and yet we go astray from his laws of righteousness. How can that be? It can't be so. It can't. We must do what Messiah did. And identify the Father the same as Messiah identified his Father. Now there's a reason why that there is very little fruit in your life. Not your neighbor's life. You understand? There's a reason why there's very little fruit in your life. Why? Because Messiah talks about the sowing of the seeds. The word of faith. The word of strength and hope. He said that that which is sown on good ground. He makes a differentiation between good ground and bad ground, hard ground. He said, now that which is sown on good ground, it brings forth fruit abundantly. Well, what is the good ground? He says, out of a good and honest heart. You see, that's where the profound fruit comes from. The heart is good. It is honest. And only that heart will hear what Yahweh speaks to his house today. And that one, through patience, they endure the opposition regardless to what trial and how severe it is. They endure those things and they bring forth fruit with patience abundantly. Because first of all, they hear what the Father says. And by them hearing, he begins to plow their hearts. And he brings forth honesty, sincerity, not hypocrisy and falsehood, but sincerity. And when that heart is good and honest, it began to produce fruit. It began to produce life. And fruit is the extension of life. Without life in the root, there is no fruit on the tree. So fruit is the extension of life that is in us. He is the vine. Messiah declared that he was the vine. And we are the branches. And his Father is, he said, and my Father is, and my Father is the husbandman. He is a pruner. And when the branches, he said, because the vine always produced the branch. And those branches that bring forth not fruit, the Father cuts them off. He bundles them together and he throws them into the fire of darkness, of hell. When a man's heart is sincere and he desires the pure things of Yahweh, he began to sense those good things that he speaks to him. When he speaks it in reproof, rebuke, admonishment, correction, whatever he does, is good. Because he knows what Yahweh says is good, and it is perfect. It is for the strength of his own survival. We are not going to survive in this corrupt world without the knowledge of Yahweh. You're not going to overcome the forces of hell without his profound truth embedded down in your soul. Because you will go astray from the laws and begin to go by your laws of righteousness. You will denounce the laws of Yahweh. There's a law to your flesh that is so vile, it is so corrupt, it is so wicked that the only thing I can be governed by is by the mighty power and the hand of your way. That's why he cannot leave us alone to battle against our flesh. He knew that it would seduce you. It will draw you away from the simplicity of his laws and righteousness. That is very simple there. Do not commit murder. And yet, man is drawn away from the simplicity of that law. That is simple there. Do not take his name in vain. And yet, man is drawn away from those truths. And they are so simple that it produces life. I used to watch my mother as she would take cuttings off certain things. And you will look at those things and you will say, how in the world is that going to grow? You will see flowers and little pieces of flowers, they look limp, no life. And all of a sudden she would begin to take care of that, water it, put it in the proper place, make sure it got the proper soil and the nutrients. And all of a sudden you will go back and there was life there. They're vibrant. The stem strong. And it stood up. And that's the way we ought to be. If we are the branches, no fruit on the branch, you prune that. You go out and you look at the branches where there are no buds, you prune them off. For they simply take life from the branches that produce life. That's why Yahweh never intended for us to cohabitate with deceivers, men of hypocrisy, men of false desires. He never intended for that. He never intended for us, if a brother is a fornicator, whereby he is not committed unto Yahweh, you don't even eat with that brother or that sister. He never intended for us to go beyond that law. Yet we make conditions for them. Oh, well, Jesus ate with the sinners, Messiah, even in all of that grace that Yahweh showed to this wicked, devilish world, did he bring any of them to repentance? He had those that he had called and chosen. And even in the example that he was showing us from every stratus that we came from. Sinners, wicked, corrupt. It was only that when we heard the voice of Yahweh that there was repentance in our heart because we believed the message that was preached. That was the only reason. You tell me after he's resurrected that he made his abode with them? It's not so. I want to identify something in scripture today. I want to begin reading in Yokohana, John chapter 9. A few things that I want to emphasize today. I pray that you open your ears to hear what the Spirit says. I was thinking about that word Father on this week, and I found to me a profound definition of the word Father. I want to read this out of the lexicon. It says this, Father. He is the originator where all origins began. He is the originator and transmitter. He transmitter of anything. He is the author of the family, of society or persons, animated, that they are alive or animated by the same spirit as himself. Now that is why Messiah could call Yahweh his father, for he was animated or he moved in the same spirit as Almighty Yahweh did. That is what a father is. He is the originator. And from his spirit is the life that goes into that thing or those or that person, whereby that one will animate or become alive by the same desire of the same spirit as the Father. Messiah declared that he did all things to please my Father. He did not do anything to please himself, but he did all things to please his Father. One who has infused, one who has infused his own spirit into others, who accentuate and governs their mind. Now that is what a father does. He accentuates and he governs our minds. He tells us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Now that is why Messiah said that he will not leave us comfortless. He said, if you ask anything in my name, then my Father, because he came in the Father's name. So he said, you pray in my name, for his name is the Father's name. He said, you pray in that name and my Father will give it unto you. Why? Because we need the governing power of the Spirit of Yahweh in us. Now, this thing that they have called the Holy Ghost, it is not the Ruah of Yahweh. We continue to sin. We do things according to our flesh. And the Spirit of Yahweh never leads us that direction. It leads us into the light. The life and the truth of Almighty Yahweh. It doesn't lead us to do things in the flesh. It does not give the flesh the preeminence of anything. It makes the flesh look foolish and brings it down, whereby it has no power or strength to rise up against Yahweh. And in this hour, that is all that is rising up against him is flesh. So the Father is one that calls a spirit of power to govern one. When a child, a natural son, you that have had fathers in the natural sense, and although you were doing something that was against his laws and command, the thought of father was in your mind that if he caught you, there were retributions to that thing that you had done. And it was the thought of your father, not just father, but you knew your daddy and you knew his name. And that when you thought of whom he was, it was a memorial of the power and the authority that your father possessed, even though you were far away from him. You knew what he would do. You knew what actions he would take. And just the spirit of that father governed you, whereby you were very careful as to what you would do. You did it in a way that you thought that no one would see you, especially him. Now, have you ever done that thinking that Yahweh doesn't see you? You've done a thing. You think that the Father doesn't see you? For any of us to say we have not done that, then we deceive ourselves. For we all have done things, and actually, literally, we do not think that the Father sees us. We say, he is not in touch with me, so he doesn't see. And so Messiah, he points out throughout Scripture, he talks about mine. Father. My Father. And if he is my hope, Messiah, I want to know that my Father, his attributes and whom he truly is. I want to know this one that he has exalted above every affliction and suffering he encountered for the sake of my Father, because the works I do, they are from my Father. I want to know him. I want to know my Father. The Scripture says in Yohanan chapter 10, John chapter 10, I want to begin reading at verse 25. I have quite a bit of reading today, and I do want to get through this. Messiah, as he answered those Yodems in Solomon's porch, he says in verse 25, he said, Messiah answered them. They wanted him to show them, to make things plainly unto them, that there would be no doubt whether he was truly the anointed one of Yahweh, what spirit that he was operating in. They wanted to know without any doubt. And so he answered them. He said, I told you, first of all, who I am, and ye believe not. You don't even believe who I am. You don't believe that I'm from the Father. You don't even believe in the Father's name. He said, you believe not. He said, the works that I do. And that is what he declares, the works that I do in. He shows you the position and the place where. He said, in my. He said, I do them in my Father's name. He said, they testify of me. They let you know, even the works that I do in that name
to let you know who I am. I'm not doing them in the name of Baal. I'm not doing them in any other name but the name of Yahweh. He said, and these works that I've done in my Father's name, they witness or they testify of me. Now he's talking about my Father. Well, who is my Father? And he's letting them know that these works are not any works originated with me. They originated with my Father. And they were are works done to let you know my Father and whom he is. Because you doubt. You doubt the truth and the validity of and the veracity of my message that I declare that I'm the Son of Yahweh. That I came in his name, his spirit, his power. You deny that. He said, I want to tell you something, but ye, the reason you believe not, because you are not of the sheepfold, you are not my people. You're not of my spirit. You're not of my Father's spirit. So that's why you don't believe. As I said unto you, he said, my people or my sheep, they hear my voice. And he said to them, I know mine. Not that I know of mine, but I know them. They are personal to me. I know them. Why? And they follow me. Now, if we say that we know Messiah, we ought to follow him. We want to see what he talks about or says about my Father or his Father. And if his Father is your Father, then you ought to acknowledge him as Malachi says, as a Father honoreth, as a Son honoreth his Father. Now we ought to honor our Father and to attribute those things that are righteously attributed unto him. He said, and I give unto you all eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man. Look what he says here carefully. He said, no man, no power of hell shall pluck you or them out of my hand. Why can't we be plucked out of the hand of Messiah? If he came to seal us for the hope that Yahweh purposed in that body, why cannot we be plucked? Because he tells us in the 29th verse, he says, my Father. He says, my Father, which gave them to me. Yahweh gave them to me. He says to them, he identifies the power of Yahweh. He says he is what? He is greater. He is greater than all. And no man, no person, no spirit is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He talks about my Father's hand. And no one is able to pluck us out of my Father's hand, is what Messiah said. You are in my hand because I came to do the works of my Father. And there is nothing that I do that I am the originator of it. It is the Father. Why? Because he is the one that shall send the Spirit, that you shall be governed by him and his laws. So no man is able to pluck me out. You out of my hand, because I am in the Father's will. What I do, it is to please him. He said, I am my Father. Truly that should be, I and my Father all are in one accord, or we are on the same accord. We are one. Sister Dean, Elder Martin are in one accord. They are one. Every husband and wife, they are one. He said, my Father and I, there's nothing that I say is against what he says. And whatever he tells me to say, I will say what he says and do what he commands me to do. Now, I know what religion has taught us. And some of the religious things that we have learned that we're so entrenched in our hearts. But it's not according to scripture. It's just according to traditions. That's what it's according to. And when they saw that the scripture says when the Jordan, when they took up stones against him to stone him. Then he asked them, he said, many good works have I showed you from my, who? He said, I've shown you from my Father. He said, many, not a few, but many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of those who you stole me for? Now all the works that I've done, they are from my Father. Now which one of these works are you going to kill me for? Tell me. I simply want to know, which work will you kill me for? And they answered and said, for the works you've done, we won't stone you, but you blaspheme. You speak blasphemy. And because thou said, you being a man, you make yourself like Yahweh. You make yourself like the Father, what they really said. Because he said, I do my Father's will. I come to do what my Father commanded me to do. I do not believe that Yahweh inspired his word for it to be confused. For there to be confusion amongst his people. They said, those that have translated and transliterated things, they've done it because they have done things because of their own beliefs and their own feelings. It's not been orchestrated by Almighty Yahweh. I believe that Yahweh from the beginning, he intended to put his truth in the hearts of his people and to write it there, and that by the Spirit that we will call upon that profound truth. We will be led by him. Man simply doesn't want him to lead him. They want someone physical and natural that they can see, and they still don't accept that. They still don't. Yahweh has always wanted to be your Father and to be our Father. And every father wants to lead his son. Every father wants to take his son by the hand and comfort them. Every father does. Every father now. Every father wants to do that. He says in verse 37, I want to move on. I want to drop down there. You read the entire chapter. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now, if Messiah did not do the works of his Father, then you don't believe him. He said, if I do not, or these works are not of my Father, you don't even believe me. But if I do, though you believe not, I know you don't believe, believe the works, that they may be known, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. That is why he said the Father will not leave you comfortless. He is the one is the birth of this work down here on the earth. That's why he sends his Spirit. That we will obey and be governed by his laws and his command. We must have a Father. Either we are the Father of this world, which is Shaitan, or Yahweh is our Father. And you will know when you're doing the works of your Father, because he was a liar from the beginning. You will lie, you will steal, you will cheat, you will commit murder. You will know who you are working for. And Messiah talks about his Father all the time. I do the will of my Father. I come to please my Father. It is not I, but the Father. It is not what I desire, but what the Father has commanded me to do. He speaks concerning the greatness of his Father. He says, Father is greater than all. He is greater than all. He is not subpar. He is greater. He is the eldest. He is the superior one of all. His Father. I want to know his Father. I want to know the one that gave him the power to speak with such clarity and profoundness. And yet he had confidence in those words in a natural body that he will be raised up again. 3 days now. 3 days and 3 nights that he will be raised up. I want to know the one that raised that body up. And if he has a name, I want to know his name. I want to identify with him. I want that one to be my Father. I want him to be my Father. Now he declares in the 14th chapter of the same book, verse 28. Yokohana chapter 14. Hear the word of Yahweh. He says in verse 28. This is what he says unto the apostles. He says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I've told you. He said, I go away. I'm going to leave. I want you to understand that. Clearly, I'm going to leave. He said, but I will come again. You can believe that I will come again unto you. And he did unto them, to assure them. After the resurrection, he came unto them again. For the hope and the security to know that what Yahweh had done, it was righteous. And he is coming again for this generation and our hope as well. He said, if ye love me, now if you truly love me, if we say we love Messiah, Those that say they love Jesus and that name Jesus. Now he said, if you truly love me, you will rejoice. Because I said, I go to the Father. He said, I'm going to someone. That there was a body of flesh, and there was a man by the name of Yahshua. He said, I'm going to the Father. That's what he said. He was birthed. He was a man. And he was birthed from a virgin. Yet we quote that, and yet we don't even believe that. We try to add a little mysticism in there, or try to make it in a way that it doesn't seem as though he was birthed that way, yet he was birthed that way. Blood. No, he was simply birthed that way. He was a son of man. He said, I go unto the. He specific. He makes it specific. Specify who he's going to, the Father. And then he says, for my Father is, he's greater than I. He identifies his Father. He says, now that is the one that this hope in this body will give you great works. He said, the works that you're going to do is going to be greater than the works I do. Because you're going to know that this great hope and the promise that has been promised unto you, that was fulfilled in this body. That's why you need to rejoice. I must suffer a thing, and then I must go back to the Father, but I'm coming back. And you can count on that. You can believe that. Because he is greater than I. He said, and now I have told you before it come to pass. I want you to understand that before you become very disturbed that these things shall come to pass. That when it come to pass, ye might. See, you might then. And only then you might believe. Hereafter, he said, I will not talk much with you. There is not much I need to say. For the prince of this world, of the power of the satanic kingdom is coming. Or it has come. And have nothing to do with me. He has no association. This religious order has nothing to do with me. This religious world has nothing at all to do with me at all. He said, I want you to understand that and to know that. It has no strength in me at all. It has no footing or no rooting in me at all. Because the world does not love Yahweh. It doesn't even love their own gods. The Baptists don't love their God. The Methodists don't love their God. The Pentecostals, the Holiness, they don't even love their gods. They love their God, their flesh, and they despise that God when he doesn't render unto them those things that they think that they should have. When their God, the God of their flesh, doesn't grant unto them what they want, you react by getting angry, upset, frustrated. You will speak out of your mouth uncontrollably. That's what you do. And that's the way this wicked world is. It has no regard for the pure things of Yahweh. None whatsoever. He says in verse 31. But that the world. May know that I love the Father. Do you hear that? Is that not what it says? That the world may know that I love the Father. How can you say you love Messiah? Well, the Father is not a part of that love. How can you love the name of Yahshua, Yeshua, Jesus, and don't love the Father's name? It can't be. You can't love the Father. Because he came and he died. Messiah died for the Father's name. That's why the Yahweh said, this man blasphemed. He says he's the son of Yahweh. He says he has been birthed. He has been birthed by Yahweh. He said the work what you've done, they're good. But that statement you made, it can't be. And we will destroy you for that. And they literally picked up stones to stone him to death. To kill him. He said, that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment. His commandment didn't come from himself. He said, the Father gave me commandment. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now, if we are sons, if Messiah did what the Father said, you tell me you are a son and don't do what the Father says. How can that be? That he is a liar? He is false? And scripture tell us to consider Messiah that endured such contradiction of sinners lest we be weary in our minds and we faint. Now how can that be, my friends? If Messiah says that he come to do everything that the Father commanded him, and that is the laws of the prophets, he did that. I did everything he said. Why? Because I want the world to know that I loved him. I did not love a God. I want them to know I love Yahweh. For he gave specific laws, commandments unto Moshe, and by the mouths of the prophets, and I did those things. That's what he said. He's not speaking off the cuff here. He's speaking that which is scripture. He says, so that is how the world will know that I have loved my Father. Why? Because he gave me a law. He gave me commandments. And that was to obey him, to keep his commandments, to keep his laws, and to obey the writings of the prophets. He was in the synagogue. He was there in the temple, as they use that expression. And yet there's where the fight arose when he began, when they wanted to know for certain, show us, give us a sign that we will not doubt that you are who you say you are. No works have been done like that in over 400 years. And the works that were done like that were not to that magnitude. That his fame arose and went throughout all Israel to the uttermost parts of the world. He's one that come in the name of Yahweh and mighty healings. They were not doing that in the name of Buddha, Laodicea, no other name. Only in that name of Yahweh were they healed. Because Yahweh is our healer. He is the one that made us. He heals us. And our confidence in that is that Messiah has come to show us that the works of Yahweh can be done in a natural, physical body. And that the body cannot restrain the Father. It cannot bind Yahweh or subdue him. That's what he came to show us. This is how the world would know that I love the Father. Why the Father gave me commandments. Even so, he said, because he gave me commandments, he told me what to do, I would do it. He said, arise, let us go on now. Because I know that I have strength to go on. I know I can do just what the Father commands me to do. Now look back to verse 24 of the same chapter. Look at this. Messiah says, he that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not or keep not my sayings. Now what are your sayings then? What are you saying, Messiah? And the words which ye hear is not who? He said what? Come on, saints. He said these words are not who? He said these are not my words. He said, but the Father which sent me. That's what he says. He says, the Father that sent me, these are his words. These are not my words. I don't speak of my own strength. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. If you don't love him, you will not keep do what he said. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now that's what he said. These words are not my words. These are the words of the Father. Well, I want to know what Father you have sent you to tell me this. You declare he to be my Father? I want to know his name. I want to know who this one is. Do you simply think he said Father? No, he spoke his name. His name is Yahweh. He made known his name. Why? Because there's no great name but that name. His name is a great name. That's why Messiah said, my Father is greater than I. What he was saying to those folks, that the works that you see in this body, there's one that is great. That even in a body of clay like that, of this, can show you profound works that you can only attribute it to him. He did not come to take the Father's honor. He came to restore the honor, that honor to the Father that had been demonized and paganized and ritualized, whereby he was not even known to the house that he had called, elected, and purchased him by the blood of Messiah. They didn't even know him. The same today. Folks don't know him. They know their gods. They know their religious practices. That takes precedent over truth. That the word of faith. They don't know him. They know about some form of this ecclesiastic being or this ecclesiastic one, but they don't know him. The way you know him is that he governs you. That's how you know who's in control of your heart, your mind, and your spirit. He governs you. And he cannot just have wasted words that he governs you by. His words must stand the test of time. And Messiah was the power to show us that the truth of Yahweh stands the test of time. I don't care if it's the 24th century, the 30th century. His word still stands the test of time. Nothing. Nothing. No generation. No obstacles can bind it or destroy it. He emphasized the place of the Father. He emphasized my Father. My Father. My Father. My Father is greater. There's no one any greater. And there were many temples there. There were all kinds of Zeus temples and temples unto their pagan deities. They put up temples under every bay tree, every tree those y'all them could find to do some kind of worship. Every high place, they worshiped there. They had some god, some form of a god. They found some place to worship. And Messiah said, I want to show you that this one, Yahweh, my Father, he is separated from all of them. There's no healing power. There's no saving grace in any of them. There's no anointing. There's no power to even tread upon the forces of hell. Only in this name and this authority and this power. Men despise him. Most of them, they despise the name. That's why they were ready to kill Messiah. That's why they were ready to destroy him. I won't reject Yahweh's truth. I want him to bring me to the knowledge and understanding of his truth. I don't want to resist his truth. I want to do what he says and obey him in all that he commands us to do. He says in the 21st verse, well, Pastor Roberts, you're jumping up and down. That's all. It's still the word. Whether it was right there in your Kahana or Matthia or Matithia, it makes no difference. Well, it has to follow a certain sequence. No, it does not. It is just truth. He says in the 20th verse of the same chapter, chapter 14, he said, in that day ye shall know that I am. Now look what he says. I am in now my Father. That's my comfort, my security. I'm in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments. Well, what commandments did he have? He had these commandments, says the laws of Yahweh, the laws of the prophets, and Moshe. He said, and keepeth them, that is the one that they can say they love Yahweh. He that keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I don't care what you say, you can speak it all you want to. You can go to every whorehouse in this nation, and they'll tell you, oh, I love God. I love him, I love him, I love him. Oh, I love him, I love him. But that's a lie. That's a sure sign of how we love him. A woman says she loves her husband and talks to him ruthless and rude and crude. She's a liar. A man that says he loves his wife, he's brutal and unkind to her. He's a flat-out fool. His words don't mean anything at all. A man loves his wife because he obeys what Yahweh commands him to do and do what he tells him to do as to show his love towards his wife. A wife loves her husband because she does what Yahweh says and commands her to do, to show that his commandment is right, to show her love to her husband. Not because of her words. I love my husband. Liar. Oh, I love my wife like no other man. You are a hypocrite. Unless it's according to the laws of Yahweh, you don't even know love. And that's it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He came, he did not speak his own words. He came with the commandment of the Father. The Father gave him commandment. And he kept the Father's commandment. He said, he is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of who? He said, you're going to be loved of who? My Father. You will be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And look what he says. And I will manifest myself unto him. Yehudah said unto him, not Iscariot, Messiah, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that you do that? He answered and said unto them, if he love me, he will keep my words. Did he not say, the words that I speak, these are not my words, but the Father's words? You will obey the Father. And my Father will love him, and my Father and I will love him, and we will come unto him. He said, we. Plural there, we. Not I, but we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. We will make our fellowship with that man. Because he keeps my commandments, he obeys me. Why? Because I came in the law of righteousness of the Father. Well, who is my Father? Who is this Father that this hope that we trust in, who is the one he's talking about? Somewhere he must have a name, and we must find out that name. That cannot just be something elementary. We trust our souls with that. That this one that we think we know, that they call Jesus and Lord, and yet he made a statement to us. We trust our soul with that. Who is the one we're trusting? He trusted him. He did. And he called him my Father. Nothing I have to say is what my Father has to say. That's nothing I can tell you. It's what he has to tell you. I can't hold you, but I'm in his hands. And because I'm in his hand, no man is able to pluck you out of his hand. That's why you're kept, because the Father has us in his hands. Why? By the word of proclamation. Before the foundations of the world, he had called us. He had ordained you to be a son. It wasn't by some witness, some mama, a daddy, or some teacher, David Roberts. It was by the word of Yahweh that he established that. He called you to be a son. You ordained you to be his. It's just simply we believe the report now. And because we believe the report, then that should give us rejoicing. That's what that does. That's what he came to let the folks know now. Here's the report. Do you believe it? Those that didn't believe it because they were not of him. And those that believed it, they rejoiced. I knew it was something. And here it is now. I understand. I understand. I know now. And their hearts rejoice in a great fashion. In a great way. In a great way. Look at the 15th chapter. Yokohana. Messiah says. He says, I am the true vine. Not a false vine, but he says, I'm the true vine. Yisrael was false. No, they were not the true vine. They were false. He was in contrast of Yisrael. Everything that came forth out of that vine was corruption. Heathen practices. Well, Yahweh warned them not to learn the ways of the heathen. They did it. He said, I am the true vine. And who? Come on, saint. And who? He said, my Father. My Father is the what? Husbandman. Do you know what a husbandman is? He's the one that prune. He is just the vine now. He said, I am the true vine. There's nothing to come out of this vine but truth. And to make sure nothing comes out of this vine but truth, the Father's always there to purge out anything or to cut off anything that is not true. He said, my Father is the husbandman. For every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He did not say, I take away. He said, the Father taketh away. He is the vine, but we are the branches. As we were some time ago, month back, there are vines or branches growing off on the scuffernogs. And of course they take away from the true vine. And so what you have to do, you have to go there and purge all of them off, just break them off. Where the fruit will be plentiful on the branches. And that is this vine of Messiah. He is the true vine. There's nothing but truth in him. Every word he spoke is the truth. Because it came from the Father. And because it came from the Father, there was no chance that he could error or tell a lie. The man has lied. Man has taken it and changed it and twisted it. But Messiah did not lie. He did not tell a lie. By the immutability of Yahweh, he cannot lie. He had no beginning. He has no end. No one created him. He is. So he can't lie. Whatever he says is truth. If he says there's a mountain in the midst, there's a mountain. You may not see it, but it is there. And he will open your eyes to let you even see that. We're like Baal. Ignorant. Full of our sin and our sin worshiping. And our sun worship. So the branch that brings forth no fruit, the Father takes away. And every branch that beareth or bring forth fruit, he cuts or he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now that is what Yahweh does. every branch that has fruit. Well, how do you know you have fruit? As I started this message off today, out of a good and an honest heart,